Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta features 426 guest rooms, 16,000 square feet of meeting and event space, several dining options, including art bar, a gastro pub serving locally inspired fare and cocktails, along with an indoor-outdoor swimming pool and patio, 11 landscaped acres of walking trails, and a convenient location to all the attractions located north of Atlanta. Visit www.sonesta.com/Gwinnett Place to learn more about what we have to offer for your next getaway, meeting, or event. Tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business? Proactive Payroll rocks payroll and provides relief. We handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. We handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and more. Locally owned and operated with over 30 years of payroll experience. We don't just process payrolls, we build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks or call 404-410-0031. Broadcasting live from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios in Atlanta, it's time for Gwinnett Business Radio, spotlighting business leaders in our area. Gwinnett Business Radio is brought to you by Faratech. Faratech, great people, remarkable service.
And hello again, everybody, and welcome to what we know will be another award-winning edition of Gwinnett Business Radio from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studio here at the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Atlanta Hotel. I am Mike Sammet alongside Stephen Julian. Hello, Stephen.
Hello, Mike.
Always a pleasure to see you.
Always a thrill and a pleasure and an honor to be seated next to such an award-winning announcer as yourself.
Thank you very much.
That was not a joke.
Anyway, we've got a couple of great guests here in the studio.
No joking, we've got great guests.
Yes, and they just can't wait to talk to us. They probably can't wait to get out of here, but joining us from...
why we locked the door.
Yes.
Sorry, go ahead.
The doors are locked, folks. Joining us from Aflac is Garland Williams, and joining us from the Student Navigator is Elise Dillard, and we are going to start the show with Garland. Garland, good morning, and welcome to the program.
Good morning. I appreciate you guys having me on.
You're with Aflac, and I think a lot of folks are familiar with the company and the Aflac Duck, of course, a great ad campaign, but some people may not be really familiar with the types of insurance and the types of products that Aflac offers. Tell us about Aflac and what you guys do.
Yeah, like you said, everybody knows the duck, but they're not quite sure what the duck does. Aflac is a Georgia-based company that's been here since 1955, and it was founded around cancer, actually. Because there's a lot of things that people have to do when they get diagnosed with cancer. They have to take time off from work. They have to maybe get some treatment. And their major medical will take care of that piece. But that time away from work needs to be taken care of, too. They have rent. They have bills. They have other things to do. So what Aflac does through their policies is they pay the individual rather than the doctor. And they pay them very, very quickly.
And so it's not your major main medical policy. It's more of a, as they call it, supplemental policy.
Exactly. It's voluntary supplemental insurance. And so your major medical will take care of broken bones. It'll take care of any burns or anything like that. But nobody knows what major medical is going to do. But we all know we have high deductibles. And that's the piece where most of the Americans have a problem. If they have a major medical issue, oftentimes they go bankrupt because they cannot fill that financial gap when they have that major medical issue. That's where Aflac comes in. It's not for the person that can write a $10,000 check at the emergency room and be done with it. It's for that person that can't, but who can spend the equivalent of maybe a Starbucks latte a week to give them financial peace of mind.
So Aflac started with a cancer policy. What my assumption is when you get diagnosed with cancer, Aflac pays to help with those deductibles and other expenses. What are some of the other situations that Aflac has developed policies to help with?
Well, I'll tell you a story. That'll be the easiest way. You know, back in June on Route 316, there was a pretty bad accident. There was a head-on with two trucks. And one of those truck drivers was taken to the hospital, broken bones, contusions, things like that. And his major medical took care of that. They paid the doctor and they paid the hospital, but he had a high deductible. And so Aflac, within 2 days, paid him $4,800. And then over the next of the course of 2 months, they paid him an additional $3,000 because he had to relearn to walk and rehab. Well, his wife's response was, that will pay our rent for 3 months. He was actually the spouse on that policy. It's through her employer, and they paid $5.30 a week for that policy. So it's not the person, that, again, that can write a $10,000 check. It's for that person that can't, and it provides financial peace of mind in case something major happens.
We're talking with Garland Williams with Aflac here on Gwinnett Business Radio. What do you say to that guy, Garland, that says, or a woman that says, hey, my family, we've got major medical, I've got dental, I've got vision, I've got a big life insurance policy, I've got everything I need. Are they okay, or is Aflac something that they should still consider?
Well, the first thing I would say is if you've got all that, that's awesome. You know, if your employer is providing you such a great package, that's wonderful. But there's still a gap, and the gap needs to be taken care of because, again, we don't know what the American, Obamacare is going to do. We don't know how it's going to change. We just know it might get more expensive. And so to protect yourself for a very small amount of money, you can make sure that you don't get into kind of a bankruptcy situation or a financial stress position. And for the employers out there, this is something that you don't have to pay for, but that you can offer to your employees. You know, one of the studies that we did at our recent Aflac work study was to show that if you gave your employees an average 2% raise, which is what the national average is right now, the euphoria of that lasts 2 weeks. But if you took that same amount of money and took all the discounts and the tax write-offs and all that that's allowed, you spend another 40 cents a week and you're able to give a benefit that the employees can take for their lifetime. You know, if they leave that job, it's portable, they can take it with, and it's permanent, and that the rates never go up.
So you're talking about employers and Aflac, that's one of your main marketplaces is offering Aflac as a benefit. Now you're right there, you were just talking about the employer paying for it. Does the employer always have to pay for it?
No, actually I'm saying is that the employer is free to him. You know, okay. All we're asking is a chance to be able to talk to your employees. And we've got something called a value-added service. So if an employer allows us to come in and just talk with 75%, we're going to offer one of six benefits. You know, one's a $7,500 life insurance policy and one's telemedicine. The employer picks that. We will give that to all their employees for a year for free, regardless if anybody signs up. It's just a chance for us to educate. You know, again, everybody knows the duck, but they're not quite sure what the duck does. And so that gives us a chance to really educate people about what the duck does.
I'm going to ask you to clarify that because that's something I didn't know. And I've known Aflac for a little while through my day job. If the employer allows you to come in and speak to at least 75% of the employees, you offer the company one of six benefits.
Right.
So I'm going to test you. Can you name all of the potential six benefits that they get to choose from? Or how many can you name? Let's put it that way.
Let's give it a shot because this has been in effect since May. So okay. I'll give it a shot. All right. So we have telemedicine. We have health advocacy. We have financial readiness. We have personal wellness. We have life insurance.
You got five. That's pretty good.
Oh, LifeLock, fraudulent.
So if you come in and do that, then they the company gets they get to choose one of those six for all of their employees.
Correct.
For free for 1 year.
Correct.
Talk about a value add. I see why you call it a value add.
Yeah, it is something that Aflac pays for, but the idea is, you know, oftentimes people will see the Aflac commercial and then we'll be linked in with Major Medical, and we're very different than
right.
that. We do a different service. And so it's a chance for us to get in front of the employees and explain. For a very low piece, little cost of money per week, we can help you make sure that you stave off bankruptcy should you have a major medical issue.
And to be clear, the employer can't, so let's say, and you do a presentation and you guys are talking about the cancer policy and the emergency room and the supplemental stuff you guys offer. The employer can choose to pay for one of those benefits for all of his employees. And he also can say, no, this is just, I'm just giving you the opportunity to sign up for this through Aflac.
Exactly. The employer can do something called a defined contribution. I have a client that is a small company, new company. He's got five people, but they couldn't get workman's compensation because they're so small. And so he wanted short-term disability on and off duty for his people, and he was willing to pay for it. And then because it's actually a drone company, so they go on sites, and so the possibility of having accidents. And so he bought an accident policy for the key people that went on sites. Now, if they wanted to buy something extra, if they wanted to buy a hospitalization policy, for example, because if people are in the childbearing age, hospitalization includes maternity. They call that an illness. I don't know why, but they do in the insurance business, but that covers the hospitalization for maternity. I'm out of that business because my youngest is almost 28. But
all the parents were had a joke go through their head when he said, I don't know why they call it an illness.
Yes. By the way, very impressive that you were able to list the six benefits because Steven has like six kids. He can't even name all six kids. So that was really impressive.
I have six kids.
See, you don't even see Garland. What I'm talking about. He didn't realize.
Three. Oh wait, you gave me your kids. Is that?
Yeah, okay. We doubled them for you. We'll talk about your background, Garland. Very interesting. You actually were in the military. Talk about your background. We'd love to hear that, and thank you for your service, of course. And why? What drew you to Aflac?
Yeah, this is my third career, actually. I grew up in the Chamblee-Dunwoody area, went off to Auburn, which I understand is a problem in this studio because there's several other people that went other places. But
look at the time.
Not with me.
Time to go. Oh, go ahead, continue.
But I went on an ROTC scholarship. The idea is I was going to do 5 years in the Army to pay back my scholarship and get out and make $1 million. And I was an engineer in the Army, and I found out I like blowing stuff up. And so my wife and I decided, let's do a stateside assignment, an overseas assignment, company command, and we'll see where it goes from there. West Point offered me to go back to graduate school. I went to graduate school at Duke, you know, for a master's and ultimately a PhD. And my order said for every one day in graduate school, I owed them 3 days more in the Army. And that took me to like 13 and a half years. And so I went to 20 for retirement. And then they offered me another command and another promotion. So 28 years, I, you know, decided to retire and see what the rest of the world does as a colonel. I was recruited by the University of Phoenix to run their military division. So we moved to Phoenix, Arizona, which we had never been before. Stayed out there for about 7 years, another helping profession, trying to help military veterans in active duty go to school. We had a division of about 1,000 people, and we serviced 48,000 students. Got the itch to move back closer to family. Did that earlier this year, went on the job market in April, and Aflac reached out. And honestly, I held them off for a couple of months because, you know, do I really want to do this? And I didn't know much about Aflac, even though it was a Georgia-based company. Mike, you lived in Columbus.
Well, and Fort Benning is down there, so I know they love the military personnel to come on and work for them when they're done with their military career.
Yeah. So I went around with them. I saw what they did, and I saw how helpful it could be to people that may not have $1,000 between their checking and savings, which 70% of Americans are in that boat. And when I saw what it could do and how it could really give peace of mind for the long term, I said, okay, yep, sign me on. I went ahead and took my training, took my license, passed it. Don't know what score because they just tell you if I pass or fail. But I passed it on D-Day and then signed up that night. So I've been doing this since June, and I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying talking to people.
So I'm going to ask you, what do you enjoy the most about? And I guess it's helping folks.
It's amazing. I mean, you guys talk to businesses all the time, but if you go into where they work, you know, I've been into a drone company. I've been into places where they make porta potties. Yeah, that's interesting plant manufacturing. I've been into a hospital. I've been into an auto shop, you know, places where you kind of see where they work and the conditions they work under. And then you can really start talking to them. For example, an auto body shop, they could get in some pretty nasty accidents, even if they're doing the right thing. You know, I had one guy tell me about, he got, was doing something about shaving off some brakes, and he got a piece of metal lodged into his chest. He took a magnet and pulled the metal out of his chest rather than go to the hospital. We can do better than that. I wouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Well, and I think the other message is the world of benefits and employee benefits for the last 6-7 years has just been a little crazy. Nobody's quite sure what they can and can't. And this is employees and employers. Everybody's not quite sure exactly what it's going to look like from year to year. Everybody's not quite sure exactly what they can and can't offer. The message of Aflac is not changed through all of that.
Exactly. Regardless of what happens with national healthcare, Aflac is not affected by that because it's voluntary insurance. And so regardless of what the administration or Congress does in the next year, we're going to remain the same. So if you want to figure out your healthcare, use Aflac as a piece of that because that will be your baseline. And then you can kind of go from there on deductibles. Once you've explained how this sort of works in the low cost, people get it. I mean, they understand how beneficial and how they should bring it into their financial repertoire.
Well, it's what, and I know, and we had this conversation off air, it is not, it's technically not insurance. You call it, it's an assurance company, which
exactly.
I love that. What a great use of the word. But at its core, it's pay a small amount of money that you can afford in your budget so that when you need it, there's a larger pool of money.
Right.
There's either that or there's save up that larger pool of money. Those are the two best options available to you.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and it's not to go against your major medical, it's to be complementary to it. In fact, one of the things that we're working with are a lot of insurance brokers because we know an employer of certain size has to offer medical insurance. So let's work with your broker during your open enrollment. And we will help you with that enrollment piece. We'll help you with the enrollment for dental and vision. Let us also talk to you about Aflac so you have that complete package. That's really where we want to go with Aflac.
You mentioned dental and vision. You have just dental and vision policies?
We do.
Because I know people that have medical policies, but the dental and vision is just horrible.
Yep. We can. And now I've talked about an employer. I can also do individuals. Now, the benefit of doing it through your employer, all I need is three people to make a group. And that gives them about a 30% discount, which is permanent. They can walk away. But I can also do it in an individual piece. Exactly. You're three people
Steve
right here.
Steve and Trey, we got three right here.
All right, so we'll talk to you after the air. Yeah. We'll sign you up.
Well, hold on. He told me I'm not technically part of Business Radio.
Don't tell him that.
Yeah.
You're part of the group now.
Oh, okay. I'm part of the group now, Garland.
Just make you a quick 1099 and we're good to go, right?
Well, see, that you are part of the group. Okay.
There you go.
You qualify for that there.
Ooh. All right.
Exciting stuff.
But one of the things we do want to do is, I mean, there are an awful lot of people that are becoming individual entrepreneurs, and that would be crazy to leave them out of this equation. So we really can do individual policies just as well and offer the same kind of benefit.
Life insurance too?
We mentioned it earlier. I can't personally do life insurance because I got to get to a next level.
Okay.
But there are certain places we can steer you to, and my boss can do life insurance. So if somebody comes to me, I can get you in touch with the right person to be able to do that. But yeah, we have no idea what the major medical plan is going to be, but we do know what Aflac is going to be forever.
And I was going to ask just because I loved how you brought up individual business owners and entrepreneurs. That's a huge piece. So you can work on an individual basis. Is there opportunities for entrepreneurial groups to kind of join together and say, for the purposes of Aflac, we're gonna be a group?
Well, basically, the bottom line is they have to be under the same tax ID.
Okay.
That's what establishes it.
Sure. Good clarifying question.
Yeah. So if you're under the same tax ID, I can come in. And it's, even if the employer wants to buy it for the three people, it's still under three individual policies, because when they leave that, they're going to have the option of just changing how they pay for it, you know, whether payroll deduction under the employer or bank draft when you leave that employer, and it'll stay with you for as long as you make the premiums. And to give you an idea, again, we talked about cancer, that initial diagnosis, the middle of the road policy upon your initial diagnosis, I'm going to pay you $4,000. And then based on whatever treatment you do, I'm going to pay you based on radiation or chemotherapy, rehab, whatever. There's a couple of policies that have a wellness piece. If you have an accident policy, if you go get a physical or an eye exam or a dental exam once a year, I'm going to pay you $60 for just doing the right thing. And under Obamacare, if you go get a physical, that's free to you. It doesn't matter to me if you get that for free. I'm still going to give you $60. And under the cancer policy, everybody under the policy, if you go and do your physical and you also get a cancer screening, I'm going to give you $75 on top of the $60. So there's ways to be able to go and do the right things, get early detection, and hopefully keep you healthy for as long as possible.
Much better than using a magnet to pull metal out of your chest.
Yes, yes.
He told me that. I was crazy. I mean, I've seen a lot of things in the Army. I've never seen that.
One of the things I've heard that's really great about Aflac, too, is a lot of times with other insurance companies, to get to my point, basically, sometimes it takes you to pull what? I know. We're going to edit this part out because
I can't get the award back, Mike.
But I guess the point is, I've heard that Aflac, you don't have to wait a long time to get your benefits paid. That's a big thing, because some insurance companies, you've got to apply once, it's denied, apply again. Keep applying until they finally, you know, you feel like you're pulling your tooth.
Well, Mike, if you want to give me a claim, you know, whether it be your wellness claim, your annual piece, or you actually get hurt, if you get the stuff to me, everything I need before 3 p.m., it'll be in your bank account by 3 p.m. tomorrow.
One it was a good pay. Question. Just took a while for me to get it out.
Call One Day Pay.
Yes. It took Aflac can get you money quicker than you could ask that question.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, let me ask some easier questions. If there's a product what's maybe your most popular product? There's so many products and services you offer, maybe the most that everybody should look at.
Well, there are three things in your life that you probably can be affected by. An accident. I mean, an accident can be a car wreck, or it can be tripping over the chair as you walk out of this studio. Heart, just because of our American way of life, we have a lot of heart disease and a lot of obesity. And then cancer. Unfortunately, one out of two men are going to get cancer in their lifetime, or one out of three women. And this being Breast Cancer Awareness Month, I mean, that's kind of a key one to highlight, obviously. For me, you know, I have wonderful Army insurance. I didn't realize, you know, what a benefit I had. Thank you, Mr. and Ms. Taxpayer. You guys do well for me. But even then, my wife and I, when we came a part of the Aflac family, we signed up for a cancer policy and a major policy because I have cancer in my family and she has heart disease in her family. And you never know. Hopefully, we have a good lifestyle and we're not going to have either of those, but you just never know.
Before we let you go, the most important question for those that would like to reach out to you or find out more, where can they get more information?
Three ways. You know, first of all, an overall for Aflac, just go to Aflac.com and the duck will tell you everything you need to know. If you want to get in touch with me via email, it's garland_williams@us.aflac.com. Or if you want to call me on my phone, 480-307-1929. And I will talk to you about Aflac till the day comes home.
Great. Garland, thank you very much for joining us.
I appreciate the opportunity. Thank you.
Garland Williams, retired Colonel Garland Williams with Aflac here on Gwinnett Business Radio.
Mike, before we get to our next guest, I just want to remind everybody that Gwinnett Business Radio does broadcast from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios inside the beautiful Sonesta Gwinnett Place Hotel.
I could tell you that. It would take me a long time to tell you that, but I could tell you that.
Again, you'll get your award back when you earn it back. But we are from the Subaru of Gwinnett Studios, and love is what makes a Subaru. Our listeners can get big savings and enjoy a hassle-free experience at Subaru of Gwinnett, where people, real people, sell real cars. Visit SubaruofGwinnett.com and join their family today. Come in to their car lot and see the difference. Maybe you're already a Subaruist, then you can follow Subaru of Gwinnett's Facebook page for the latest Subaru offers, news, and community events. Mike, it's spreading.
Calling the kettle black here is what you're
doing. It's a virus that's going through this studio.
Hopefully it doesn't spread to our next guest. You know, when the guests are speaking more eloquently and better than us,
it might be time to take a break.
Exactly. Elise Dillard with the Student Navigator is our next guest. Elise, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
Oh, she already sounds good. We're already in trouble.
Get to your question, quick. Yes. We've only got a few minutes left in the show.
The Student Navigator. What do you do? What's your company do?
Yes. So the Student Navigator, I graduated college debt-free. And so I founded the Student Navigator, where our mission is to make debt-free graduation the status quo, one student at a time. So we deal with strategy for scholarship acquisition, internships. Our team has lived it and done it. So they're getting that unique perspective and insight from those who've actually achieved it.
I just wanted to yell, liar, debt-free.
Yes.
You hear horror stories these days. Everybody's leaving college with debt. It's from just the days we were in college, Stephen. I mean, it's like triple what what it is to go to college right now. I can't put my kids through college.
But believe it or not, actually 30% of students graduate debt-free. So oftentimes we think that because it's such a large number and we hear about college being so unaffordable that we think it's more like 1% or every blue moon someone will graduate debt-free. But actually 30% of students graduate debt-free.
So how do you do this?
Yeah, I was going to say, what is the first step? Because I wonder how many responses you get like Mike's, where there's just silence and jaw-dropping and, come on, really?
Right.
So how do you get the conversation where people can go, okay, I'm with you, keep going. So where do we start?
It really also depends on the audience we're talking to, because we have parents that are interested in us. We have students more on the proactive end from high school or even as young as middle school. And then we have students that come to us who are in college and say, okay, I just finished my freshman year.
I really need help.
And then, of course, individuals who are looking to pursue graduate school too or doctor degree. So we have all different stages. So it really just depends on where they are and how we can guide
them. That is such a political answer. No, I'm just kidding. So let's take, well, what is your biggest audience? Let me start it with that. Who are, I'm imagining it's not as many middle schoolers. It's more the junior, senior, so is that kind of the main, and the parents, are those the main audiences that you're talking to?
Yes. Our two main audiences are those on the proactive end, the high schoolers and the parents with the high schoolers, and then also college students who've experienced that debt already and want us to work with them moving forward.
Okay. So I'll go back to my question. Let's stay with that audience.
Yes.
Where do we start? What's the first thing that someone should do if they are seriously thinking about trying to get through college debt-free?
Okay. So if you're a high school student and you're on the proactive end, start applying for scholarships. Start now. A lot of students think that you have to be a senior in high school or a junior in high school to be eligible for scholarships, but there's scholarships on every level. And even when I tell parents, I know this isn't the major mark of high school, but there's scholarships on an elementary school level, middle school level. I, for one, won one in elementary school. So it's possible to do that. But the first step would be to start looking for scholarships and start applying now and start looking at the schools, start identifying your potential schools that you're interested in, start looking at the cost for those and start planning.
Are there better websites to look for scholarships, better resources to look for scholarships, or is that kind of a free-for-all?
Scholarship resources are free out there. So there's lots of great databases. You have scholarships.com, fastweb.com. One of my favorites is unigo.com, U-N-I-G-O. That's a great one. And they usually have them broken down based on categories. So there's different categories of scholarships. A lot of students think you just have to have a good GPA to be eligible for them, but you don't. And so those websites are a great way, especially Unigo, that I tell a lot of students to go to. They break it down based on whether it's your race or ethnicity, what year you are, whether it's leadership, career. So there's lots of different categories, and it's great for students.
Now, you need to slow down there. Steven's writing all this down, I noticed.
I'm ripping off pages.
Because of
those
six kids he has.
No, it's only three, and my oldest is a junior in high school. So this is a very relevant topic.
By the end of the show, he's going to admit he has six.
No, I won't. And one of the little side questions, obviously, we're Gwinnett Business Radio. We're here in the state of Georgia. The Georgia has a pretty good website that kind of, do states have, a lot of states have good websites? Is that a good starting point?
Yeah. So there's different, usually it's like a government website. Right. So Georgia's Georgia College 411. That's a great one. I know New York, they have a program and it's just like newyork.org or newyork.gov. But usually it's those government websites. They'll have some, but and they'll be tailored to that state.
So the best starting point is actually go out there and find what might be available for you to even apply for. Because I think some people, I know I have, you've heard the statistic that there's a lot of scholarship money that goes unclaimed.
Yes.
And is that because people just are not willing to put in the legwork?
I think so. And also, I think it's that misconception, again, going back to law students think you have to have a good GPA to be eligible for that scholarship. And also, one of the major hurdles is students don't like to fill out the essay component. A lot of scholarships involve an essay, and a lot of students just don't feel like writing it, whether it's, 500 words, 1,000 words. I just came across one of those 1,500 words you have to write. So a lot of students just don't feel like putting that work in. But what we at the Student Navigator, we really work with students, having them identify, okay, like you need to look ahead and realize it's the pain of filling out that scholarship essay worth the pain of having the loans after graduation.
How much is the scholarship worth and divide it by the number of words? You're getting paid X amount of dollars for each word you write.
Right. That's a great way to look at it. Yes.
Thank you. You can use that. Totally trademark free. I was a history major in college and I had to do a senior thesis. My history prof, when I asked her, how many pages is this supposed to be? She goes, Stephen, just recognize I can do a 10-page grocery list. So make sure it's a thorough examination of the subject. And I went, okay, it's got to be more than 10 pages at least. Mm-hmm. So let's get off scholarships for just a second.
Sure.
What would be the next proactive step? Because I think you mentioned things like internships. So you can go to that topic or any other topic you want. Beyond scholarships, what else are you helping people with?
Yes, internships is a great, I look at it as a hidden jewel of internships, which is paid internships. A lot of them will pay you thousands of dollars to do an internship, maybe as short as the summer, maybe 8 to 10 weeks. And so that's a great way for students to, you know, at least have maybe their tuition paid for, or maybe, you know, a big chunk of their room and board covered. So I would definitely encourage students to start looking into paid internships. Usually it's those major universities. A lot of them will offer them. Usually, and you don't have to be a student at that university. So it's a great way for students even to experience being away from home. I, for one, did several where one in particular was in California. They flew me out to California, covered my room and board there, covered my transportation stay, and cover a stipend. So it's great for students.
You've done like 3 double takes during her answer just now.
The not being a student there is amazing. I mean, yes. So you can even do that while you're in high school potentially.
Yes, there's some universities that will offer programs for high school students too.
Wow.
And I've seen it. Yeah.
To play devil's advocate, what separates you, what makes you different from a high school or a college counselor?
Yes, that's a great question. I always go back to the fact that, you know, I've lived it and have done it. So I have that unique perspective, and also our team has as well. So we have that unique perspective that, you know, college and career counselors might not have. So
What about those ones with the silver spoon in their mouth right now? Maybe a little upper income. I don't need a lease for any.
Not I don't need it, but I can't get it because I'm not lower income or thinking in that respect, right? I mean, that's part of it.
Right. Yes. We actually I'm actually working with a student right now, and her parents make over $120,000 a year. And a lot of parents, they think they're not eligible for it. Again, going back to why they don't apply for scholarships, because they think their parents make too much. Need based is just one fraction of the type of scholarships that are out there. There's other ones that don't even look at your income, or it might be need based, but it's more so they ask you, why do you need the scholarship and not necessarily what's your income?
So we're speaking with Elise Dillard, and we're having so much fun asking so many questions. I just want to remind everybody, Elise is with the Student Navigator. Let me go back to scholarships for just a half second.
Yes.
You gave some great websites. Mm-hmm. Are there also some places to be avoided? Is there some red flags where people should go, wait a minute, they just want my money, they're not really going to help me with scholarships?
Yes, that's something that we do share with our students. Some areas of red flags would be, one, if you're looking at a scholarship and they don't have like information, like a great place for you to contact information for you to reach out to them, that's a red flag. If they ask you for key information like your social security number, your driver's license number, any of that before the scholarship, oftentimes that's a red flag. Usually after you win the scholarship, they might ask for your photo, or during the application process, they might ask for your photo. So if you win, you know, they'll post it on their blog and promote you. But if they're asking for that information ahead of time, that's a red flag. They'll ask some of your information after you win, of course, to give you that money, to know where to send it, to know what college you go to deposit it into your college account. But those are some red flags. Also, those no essay scholarships. A lot of students gravitate towards those because, again, they don't like to write that essay. But sometimes it's just, you know, those in sweepstakes. Not saying that all of them are bad, because they're not, but those are just ones to be really careful for, because they'll just ask for your information and you feel like you, you know, apply for the scholarship and, you know, they might just be asking for your information.
So I was interested. Now I'm going to put you back on the internships for a
second. Like you're on the firing squad. We're just coming at you with all these questions.
I love it. Bring it.
Okay. So in terms of the internships, you were talking about them through the universities. Is that mm-hmm. the only kind of internships, or are there opportunities with companies as well?
Yes, companies as well, from major corporations to, you know, small businesses.
And is that more of a, the student should be proactive and research and kind of, I want to look at these things and kind of reach out themselves? There's not necessarily a website they can go to, internships.com. I mean,
there is actually internships.com.
All right. That's fantastic.
It's 2017, Stephen. There's a website for everything.
What is this website speak of? I'll get my 28.8 modem and dial up and get on my America Online account. So internships.com. So there are some websites, but is that, I guess, is there more success if you can really kind of tailor and kind of approach the company yourself? Companies, you find the right company who goes, wow, look at this go-getter. Look at this 18-year-old, 17-year-old, 19-year-old person. And they kind of take a chance with them.
Yes, you're exactly right. That happened exactly to me. And I share students that same thing, where I encourage students to go and network. One way that I acquired an internship in college was I would go down to Atlanta and I would find different networking groups. And I would just go maybe once a month, every other month, but usually, or not every month, every other week. And oftentimes you're one of the youngest in the room. And one gentleman, he came to me, he was a business owner, and he was just very impressed that I was that young and take that initiative, and he offered me an internship. But I don't, not just sharing my story, but I encourage other students to do that too. There's a great network within Gwinnett County called Gwinnett Young Professionals. That's a great place. So there's different areas for students to network. Also, just look at your personal network. Talk to your parents. Talk to your professors. They are a great wealth of information. And even if they don't know of an organization around the top of their head, they can look into it.
Well, and let's call a spade a spade. I mean, for the companies, a lot of times this is a win for them, because mm-hmm. they get good work at a lower, I mean, usually it's a reduced rate, right? I mean, it's a specific period of time. They might help with a specific project, mm-hmm. and they can pay them probably less than they would if they had, you know, if they got somebody with a resume and all that. So, so it's a win-win. You get money for college and they get some work done.
Mm-hmm.
I like it.
Take a breath, Stephen.
All right. Now I have one.
See how passionate he is? You're telling me this is a guy that doesn't have six kids getting ready to go to college? Let her take a breath.
All right. Now I've got the trap question for you.
Okay.
How does the student navigator make money?
It is a paid service. So we do have different programs available based on the student. So the first thing we do is we offer complimentary consultations, where we meet with the student or the student and the parent, depending on the parent wants to join. And we work with them to see where they are in the process and how we can best work with them moving forward. And so based off of that, we have different services that will apply to them. We have different mentor programs for as long as 6 months to one-time sessions to 3 months. So it really just depends on the student, if they want their hand held versus if they're more like independent go-getter. So
part of what you, and so it, depending on the level of service they offer, one of your things you might be paid for is to go, yes, write that essay. Yes, right. It's okay. Keep writing. It's okay. I mean,
it's accountability.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Okay. If a student uses your service, is there a guarantee that they'll get funding?
No. And a lot of students think that. No, you don't. We don't have any connection with any selection committee for any scholarship or internship or school program. We just provide the strategy. We also offer proofreading and review services. So we work with the student to make sure they're their essays organized, grammar, making sure they're really communicating the best version of themselves through the application essay. But we have no, hand in the selection process.
Do you guys offer, so you're talking about working with individuals. Do you guys offer any services if there are, you know, leaders at different schools, high school leaders, principals, if people are hearing this interview and want to bring you in, is there an opportunity that, you know, in other words, you can bring your message to a room full of people and that's a one-time consultation, right?
Yes. And we do different speaking engagements across, you know, the state. So we do workshops. We do, we've been invited for leadership academies. We've done keynote speaking engagements, seminars, panels. You think of it, we've probably done it. We name it, we do it.
What would you say to that person out there that's listening to this interview and they're going, oh my God, this sounds great. Where was she 3 years ago? And now I have got all these loans and everything. Is there anything you could do for the person that already has some loans?
It depends on where they are and their place, their education. If they've already graduated and they have the loans, we are not a debt reduction or debt settlement service. So if you have the loans, unfortunately, we cannot erase those loans. There are some.
But if they're a freshman in college, maybe.
Yes. So if you are still in school, we can work with you now moving forward. But, you know, essentially, if you, you know, if you're really zealous about applying for scholarships and you win enough money where maybe you have a surplus, you could use that and save that towards your student loans later, depending on where you are. So there's different ways that you could still use that. We could help you towards attacking your loans from that respect.
So I'm going to go back to the, you know, you're helping individuals. You've talked about proofreading, you've talked about consultation. You talked about for your own story, there was networking, there was opportunity.
Yes.
It is, and you guys can't guarantee, again, you can't guarantee placement in a particular scholarship, but are there, I guess part of this is just kind of helping them develop a plan.
Yes.
Part of this is helping them implement a plan.
Yes.
Do you have stories of where you've been able to go and, you know, kind of somebody I knew or a networking group I knew of, and you guys are keeping track of things and you kind of help people find, you know, the right connection and the right relationship.
Can you share a success story?
Yeah.
That's what he's trying to ask.
Okay, sure.
Sorry, in this show of long questions.
Yes. Share a success story, please.
Yes. So we do have a student that we've been working with, and right now she is a senior in college and she's debt-free so far, has not had to take out any loans. So that's our biggest success
right
story.
It's worth having a conversation. I mean, everybody listening who has a kid getting ready to go to college or they just entered college needs to have a conversation with you.
And I know you say debt-free is the status quo, but even if they, you know, get out with a third of the debt they were going to have, I mean, that's a success too, right?
That is, yeah.
Any scholarship you get, any amount of money, going that extra year, getting into master's program.
All right. For those that would like to find out more and look into your services, where can they get all this great information?
Yes. So the Student Navigator website is thestudentnavigator.com. I also have recently released a book called Funding College Debt Free. So you, again, were asking about, you know, the step-by-step process. That's what I wrote that book for, as a guide. Step-by-step, it has areas for the student to pause and take action. So it's really a great resource for students and parents. You can find more information about that on the Student Navigator website, thestudentnavigator.com/resources. It's available on Amazon as well.
Congratulations, at least, because I've never seen Stephen take more notes with any guest than he has with you.
Thank you.
I mean, do you need another pen? I think you run out of ink over there.
I'm good. Just okay. Ready to go get a book. I
All
know
right.
that.
Thank you. Six kids. All right. I want to thank Elise Dillard with the Student Navigator. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
Also, thank you to retired Colonel Garland Williams with Aflac for joining us on the show as well. Thank you so much, Garland.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. A reminder, you can listen to this show or any of our other episodes anytime by going to GwinnettBusinessRadioX.com. Also, follow us on Twitter, follow us on Facebook, and also subscribe to us on iTunes.
Before we finish the show, Mike, I want to remind our listeners that if any of them are business owners or business leaders, and they might be tired of being frustrated and stressed with administrative tasks in your business, then you need to contact Proactive Payroll, because Proactive Payroll rocks payroll and provides relief. They handle your payroll needs simply and efficiently, allowing you more time to work on growing your business. They handle tax reporting and payments, direct deposits, benefit and worker comp reporting, and more. They don't just process payrolls, they build relationships. Visit proactivepayroll.rocks or call 404-410-0031.
Great job. What's 5 plus 1?
6.
4 plus 2?
6.
3 plus 3?
6.
How many kids do you have?
3.
All right. For Trey, I'm Mikey. Steven, we'll see you next time here on Gwinnett Business Radio.
Actually, 4, because you're my fourth kid.